Welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. It's the 12th of May 2019. This is just a little note to precede another podcast on the Songs of No and Yes. And it's a podcast that's from the section on desire. I think it's called Desire Action Time. And this is by way of explanation for having been quiet for a couple of weeks. This is because we've moved house, and it was quite a task. We've got a big house with 23 years worth of accumulated stuff in it, which we had to sort out, and we've kind of thrown a lot of stuff away and so forth, because we've moved into a house which is a little bit smaller. It's still quite a large house, but it's a fair bit smaller than the Parkdale Yoga Centre, and that's kind of really taken up a lot of our time and energy. Now, I do have, I don't know, maybe 4, 5, 6 podcasts in the can, which were done while we were still at Parkdale, in the usual fashion, walking along the canal. But they're all in need of a very small edit. I always give the podcast a small edit and shorten the pauses, the thinking pauses and so forth. And it's not a mega exercise in editing, but I always like to give them a little tidy so that they're reasonably listenable. So they've been sitting there, but of course we've been, as I say, tied up. And of course, moving into the new house, we haven't had broadband for a while. Been muddling along doing a sort of using an Android pad as a portable hotspot and this kind of stuff, and we've been able to do some stuff, but it's kind of thrown our tech out of kilter a little. Anyway, we're up with broadband now, so I should be able to make a little bit of time and polish up these podcasts and put them out every few days, or at least one a week or something like that. So that's the explanation for the slight pause. We haven't died yet. We haven't given up on it. We're still committed to doing it. And even more so now that we're in this new place, and there are lots of nice walks to take, and which will inspire some more reflections, which hopefully will be useful to you and interesting to you. I think probably here we by the sea. I'm just actually sitting out in the dunes in our new place. We're at Abermail, known to the unruly English as Barmouth, kind of holiday resort on the Welsh coast. Rather beautiful. I'm watching the sun go down over the Clyne Peninsula. The sea's on fire. It's like molten metal. And it's a pretty beautiful place, really. We've got mountain at the back, a couple of minutes from the house, and you're out on the mountain going uphill, some rather lovely tracks, and in the other direction a couple of minutes you're on this big sandy beach, which is a couple of miles long, nice sandy beach with pretty views all round, to be honest. It's anyway, I'm sort of, obviously you can tell I'm quite pleased. It's a groovy place. The town's pretty interesting as well. And every now and then it goes mad because it gets hordes of holidaymakers descend on it, and it goes a bit wild and frenetic. And then just as quickly they disappear, and it's still quite sparky. You know, there's some interesting characters here, it seems. So yeah, we're pleased so far. And I hope that we can be pouring out some interesting material for you. Anyway, that's it for now, and I'm just going to hand you over to the podcast, and you'll hear that it was made in Wolverhampton on the Staffordshire and Worcestershire Canal in that manner. But the new ones, you're probably going to be able to hear the sea and the seagulls. Okay. Thank you.
Welcome to Heart Yoga Radio.
It's the 14th of November 2018. I'm on a mission this morning, but it requires a walk along the Staffordshire, Worcestershire. It's about 7 a.m. It's quite a fine morning. I'm going to read you another of the songs of No and Yes, and add a commentary. And this one's definitely didactic and a bit long-winded and rambly. And it's called Desire, Action and Time. You'll notice in this section of Songs of No and Yes, there's a number of songs on various aspects of desire. And the one prior to this I've already podcast about, Desire for Truth, Desiring Truth, Desire, Action, Time. There's Desire in the Future. And they come together in a cluster. And I say it's a bit rambly. I'm presuming that by now you've listened to some of these podcasts, so you're aware of the rationale and the style and what these things are about. Anyway, I'll read it. Desire, Action and Time. Desire. The word trips off the tongue, but what are we talking about? Can you imagine life without desire? If nothing else, the desire to go on living, let alone the desire for chocolate. Surely, desire is woven right into the fabric of our life. Would we do anything without it? Except lie down and wait for death. Take a close look when you desire something. Don't be swayed by what you think you ought to find. Just be still and see. Don't you see suffering sitting in the heart, the belly, the muscles, the blood, the genitals? Perhaps it is only a mild itch, or perhaps a gnawing void, or a burning pain, or a desperation of the mind, mixed with a future imagined in which the suffering is solved. And you ask if this imagined future is possible, worth pursuing, right to pursue. Think of desire and think of action, though not every desire produces an action. See desires coming and going, sometimes as short-lived as soap bubbles, sometimes as persistent as rocks, often coming in swarms, contradicting each other and paralysing you. Yet actions come from desire. Campaigns are drawn up, maybe instantly, without thought, or deliberately and slowly. And chocolate is bought, or empires are built. Think of desire and think of time. A desire is a hook reaching towards you from the future and fastening itself to you and pulling you backwards, whilst at the same time you are pushed in the same direction by your dissatisfaction. And how is it that I desire this and you desire that? How is it I desire weakly and you desire strongly? Isn't it because we have different pasts? Desire, action, time. Woven together, shut through with pain. Still, be at ease with this. So what's going on here? Seems to be a poem striving to be an essay. And there's a lot of ins and outs in this one. Quite detailed, I think. And he does attempt to offer some kind of a description of the relationship between desire, action, the things that we do, and time, that which we find ourselves immersed in. It also offers a strategy for dealing with desire, or examining desire, I might say, and it's out of that strategy or that prescription for investigating this matter of desire and its relationship with action and time. And that is just, as I said, you know, taking a closer look, not being swayed by what you think you should find. Or what did I put here? Don't be swayed by what you think you ought to find. Just be still and see. And again, this is Patanjali, particularly the practices that Patanjali articulates in the very first part of the Yoga Sutra. And as I've mentioned, it is about this kind of clear seeing you get if your mind is fairly settled. That's a kind of clarity of vision. Actually, a literal clarity of vision. If you sit in a landscape, for instance, on the side of a hill, overlooking a vista, and allow yourself to settle there. And if you look here and that does occur, you'll find that there's this very sharp precision in the field of vision. A kind of a vividness and a sense of the life in everything, and a great and beautiful and sublime clarity, which seems to be a direct correlate with a certain mental quietness. So that's outlined in Patanjali, and he does use the term drashtu, the seer, to draw our attention to this sphere of life with which most of us are very intimately acquainted, namely perception through seeing. So there's a method given in the song, and then some kind of indication of the kind of things that one might find, and then a prescription or a recommendation. And we will find that the desire is intimately associated with pain, as the Buddha very adequately outlined. And you find the same idea in Krishnamurti, or the same observation, I should say, rather than an idea. And we know that desire unfulfilled, especially if it's very strong desire, can be very full of angst, full of anguish and anxiety. It can even make us physically ill. But even a little bit of desire, it can be even just on the level of some kind of an itch, can just be discombobulating. And I don't know if you're addicted to smoking or something, you're not going to die if you don't have a cigarette. But it can get very, very sort of uncomfortable and make you very antsy. And obviously, with some addictive drugs, the withdrawal is catastrophic. So we're all acquainted with the various ways in which this desire is associated with suffering, especially when it's unfulfilled. It can even be associated with suffering when it is fulfilled. The fulfilment can be a disappointment and not live up to the anticipation. It's going to then give rise to another desire, another wave of desire, not to be disillusioned in this way, to find something that isn't disillusioning in ultimately. I do assign a kind of primordiality to desire in this. I say, can you imagine life without desire? And it seems to me that desire is the stuff of life, and that getting moralistically sniffy about it is therefore, well, just daft, you know, and ultimately kind of anti-life. If you would be without desire, you would be without life, I think. Life moves, and life is a movement. So the impetus of desire. I polemically say things like, you know, the quarks desire each other, the protons desire the electrons, and the north poles of magnets desire the south poles of magnets, and so on. You know, is it kind of metaphysicalising desire, which is kind of a bit parallel to Nietzsche's sometimes entertained cosmology of the will to power. it's metaphoric and poetic, but nevertheless, you know, it captures the sense of life as movement, which you'll notice if you listen to these podcasts, I'm always emphasising. So I'm saying there's a primordiality to desire, probably even a cosmic primordiality. If I'm going to get metaphysical, it's going to be in that direction, let me put it like that. So desire is woven right into the fabric of our life. Then I recommend taking a close look. And I say, don't you see suffering sitting in the heart, the belly, the muscles, the blood, the genitals? And I wanted to point out there that emotion, mental life, phenomenologically encountered is physical. It's in the body. You know, you can talk about being broken hearted, having butterflies in your stomach, a lump in your throat. These are literally true. And this is the way the suffering associated with desire is presented to us, as physical phenomena, as sensation in the body, the physical body. And I mentioned further on there that this can be very varied, perhaps a mild itch or a gnawing void or a burning pain or a desperation and so on. It comes in a lot of flavours. And it's always mixed with the future. In fact, the future imagined. When we have desire, it's at some level imagining a future, especially if it's the kind of desire that we linger over and entertain and obsess about and so forth. In those kind of scenarios, as opposed to scenarios of very fleeting desire, in those scenarios where we have desire and obsession and we're in for the long haul, the future is imagined, a future in which that desire is solved is fondly imagined. We entertain the desideratum of having the desire solved in fantasy or in imagination. And so much fantasy, and sexual fantasy, and romantic fantasy, and limerist fantasy is of this type, it seems to me. We may even imagine whole futures, whole societies, whole utopias. And utopianism, which I speak about very frequently, because I think we need imagination. Basically, future-directed imagination in order to make political decisions. And I do frequently point out that this is dangerous. It's a very sharp tool and you can easily slip, cause mayhem with the tool of utopianism. Yeah, I would say we can't just dismiss it or do without it even. So you get these large-scale desirings and fantasies enmeshed with those desirings, and in this case we ask if an imagined future is possible, if it's worth pursuing, if it's right to pursue. So immediately in appraising a utopian desire, you need to be very clear about the values that you bring in to your considerations. You know, do you want equality, do you want freedom, do you want fraternity, do you want X, Y, Z, whatever it is, you know, because you value it. Or you might even believe that there's moral right on your side. You know, people imagine utopias from the standpoint of, and from within the narrative of, say, Christianity or Buddhism or some fundamentalist ecology or something like that. You can bring a framework which has got a moral content and a value consideration, the table of values enmeshed with it. And this is all in the sphere of desire. Now I go on into desire and action, and I do point out that we don't always act on desire. Some we do, some we don't. And at this point I try and get into the complexity that we can in fact entertain a lot of desires simultaneously. And that these might contradict each other. Well, they can kind of come in swarms, as I put it here. and sometimes they're very persistent. You can be carrying a torch for somebody for decades, you know, some people do. Or you can, oh, they can just be as flimsy as soap bubbles. They're just very short-lived, they come and they go. And desires can lead to campaigns to realise those particular desires. That can be kind of spontaneous and quick and shallow and shoddily put together. That can be whole campaigns, very fully worked out and in great detail, and have quite a good chance of being realised. As I said, in chocolate is bought where empires are built. There's very varied stuff all in the same ballpark. Then I say, think of desire and think of time. A desire is a hook reaching towards you from the future and fastening itself to you. At the same time, you're pushed in the same direction by the power of the past, by everything that's happened to you, by the particularities of endowment and experience and history and biography that you bring into bear in any particular situation of desiring this. So we are, just in virtue of being desiring creatures, embedded in time, intimate relationship between desire and time. I also point out that, you know, that I might really have a big style desire for chocolate and it might leave you cold. I just point out that people are different, that there's a great particularity around styles of desire. And then I just finish just by reiterating how desire, action and time are woven together and shot through with pain. And then the recommendation, still be at ease with this. Okay, that was a little bit brisk, but I think you get the point. I'm going to read it again for your consideration. Actually, I should mention, these songs are for meditation. They give some pointers and some hint at an approach, and perhaps just a little kind of tiny bit of advice all woven in. And I suppose that is the sense in which they are not really fully poems. Desire, action, time. Desire, the word trips off the tongue. But what are we talking about? Can you imagine life without desire? If nothing else, the desire to go on living, let alone the desire for chocolate. Surely, desire is woven right into the fabric of our life. Would we do anything without it, except lie down and wait for death? Take a close look when you desire something. Don't be swayed by what you think you ought to find. Just be still and see. Don't you see suffering sitting in the heart, the belly, the muscles, the blood, the genitals? Perhaps it is only a mild itch, or perhaps a gnawing void, or a burning pain, or a desperation of the mind, mixed with a future imagined, in which the suffering is salved. And you ask if this imagined future is possible, worth pursuing, right to pursue. Think of desire, think of action. Though not every desire produces an action, see desires coming and going, sometimes as short-lived as soap bubbles, sometimes as persistent as rocks, often coming in swarms, contradicting each other and paralysing you. Yet, actions come from desire. Campaigns are drawn up, maybe instantly without thought or deliberately and slowly. And chocolate is bought, or empires are built. Think of desire and think of time. A desire is a hook reaching towards you from the future and fastening itself to you and pulling you forwards, whilst at the same time you are pushed in the same direction by your dissatisfaction. And how is it that I desire this and you desire that? How is it I desire weakly and you desire strongly?
Isn't it because we have different pasts? Desire, action, time, woven together, shot through with pain. Still, be at ease with this. Thank you for listening. Over and out. Speak soon.